Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 288. I am Chris, not joined by Tony. He is in Chicago, not too far from Jeff. Fozzie is here.
Yo.
And Jeff.
I am not in Chicago.
No, but you're near Chicago.
F.A. doesn't hang out with people that go to Chicago and want to hang out with him.
And Peter's here.
Wait,
as well.
you were in Chicago?
Yeah, you know I was in Chicago. I texted you a million times.
When was that?
That was like 2 months ago. It was for Halloween weekend. I'm like, dude, I'm going to be here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tried telling you to come up to the party, man.
No one's going to come up to your fucking party an hour away in the boonies.
Come on, you don't want to stand around in a garage?
I don't have a goddamn car.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's stop fighting. Over something that happened 2 months ago.
Ever.
More than that. That was Halloween weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 3 months ago.
My
now.
Bad, bro. I don't know. I just couldn't. I don't know.
Okay. Whatever.
I guess a couple new games were played. We had more on our list, but Don is not here, so there's no Final Fantasy Explorers, no The Division yet. But Pete, you played a game called Blade and Soul.
Yeah, I played a bunch of garbage this week.
Okay, that's great. So let's get that out of the way, and then we can talk about the other game.
Yeah, so Blade and Soul is just like, it's an MMO.
Okay.
You know, it's your most basic-ass MMO, basically. And the only thing interesting it has going for it is the most anime of anime art styles. Which is kind of fun to mess around with and whatever, but I was bored, and I was like, I wonder what's going on here. And, yeah, I mean, it's grindy.
So it's an MMO.
Yeah, I mean, literally the only thing that's interesting about it is
very anime.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
It's an anime
your
MMO.
Anime-ass anime. And yeah, I mean, it's fun. I'm level 10 now, I think. So that's cool. I'm playing a Blade Master or something. I can't honestly remember what,
I'm looking at some sort of. It's definitely a female. She has black and white hair, very long, anime style, like coming out pigtails, but they go all the way down to her feet. She's wearing like combat boots, and she has a chain gun.
Yeah, I don't know what class that is necessarily, but it's an anime, so
good night. True. All right. Well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't like the funny thing is that like there's. Not much more to say about it. There's nothing unique about it gameplay-wise whatsoever. Like, it's hard to come up with something interesting to say other than look at some pictures of it and, like, futz with the character creator a little bit.
Is it free to play?
Yes.
Well, there's that going for it, I guess.
Which is the only reason I looked into it, so.
Go and create some anime-ass anime characters.
Well, if you really want to do that, I would recommend more or less going to the, downloading the Black Desert character creator.
Okay.
Because you can, like, that's the character creator that you probably heard, like, has the, like, not only the most intense array of settings, but, like graphically speaking, it's stupid how, like... what do you call it? Like, not like the fidelity of it. So here's a shot of one of the ones that I had done because like I enjoy character creators. I think that they're like a lot of fun just to like mess with and experiment with this and that and all that stuff. Excuse me.
It's kind of looks like Final Fantasy 14 ish.
In style, yeah, it's a fantasy MMO, but it's at least Black Desert is as well. Yeah, but yeah, the character creator, like I've heard the MMO itself, which is out in Korea already. I think it's It's an East Asian MMO for sure. I've heard like the game itself is not very good, but that's like not necessarily the whole point. The whole point is that character creator to just like mess around and make, you know, quote unquote pretty people and whatever. So
this Black Desert one looks pretty cool. I mean, as far as character creators go.
Yeah, and so that's really the whole thing.
Tell us about Duelist.
Yeah, so Duelist is basically a Hearthstone ripoff, but played on a chessboard. Card game.
Played on a chessboard?
Yeah, so you...
Kitty! Fuck out of there! Hey!
Jeff's cat.
Get out of there!
See
ya. So you play your cards and you summon minions in like on a board.
Okay.
But you have mana. All of the effects are exactly the same as they would be in Hearthstone. There are slight variations because obviously your characters move around and they have different attack ranges. But your hero is also like the main character, right? Okay. So, Yeah, I played a couple games. It's in beta right now. It's free to play again. So you know, you get packs. You build a deck out of like 40 cards, and that includes your minions, your spells, your like items and whatever. It has a cool art style to it. I like that a lot, but I'm not entirely sure it's unique enough.
Kind of feels like 80s cartoon almost.
So you're probably seeing that, but like then the art
in the game
is more of like 16-bit.
Okay.
Style. So
okay, yeah, pixelized and yeah, interesting. All right.
Yeah. You've just been playing a lot. I tried playing The Witness, which we'll get to.
Yeah, I don't know if I wanna get to that now. Yeah. Is Jeff back from his cat attack?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right.
So I'll start because I played very little of it because I got motion sick playing.
I
didn't know that was a thing, and I was wondering why I felt awful afterwards. Like, physically, like, I had the worst kind of headache.
Is it specifically a PC thing where people are getting it, or is this...
I don't know. I bought it on Steam. And I thought that, I bought it on PC and I was like, oh, maybe it's like a sensitivity thing, because the sensitivity is really weird if you're using a controller compared to a mouse on the game. But it might just be the field of view.
Okay.
On the game, I guess that trips people up. I don't know what it is on there, but I completed maybe 50 puzzles and took a break because I had to go pick up my sister from work. And I was just like, I have too much of a headache to play this game when I get back home. I can't do it. It's fun. You know, I think... I've only done 50 puzzles, but I do have some kind of issues with ways it presents its puzzles. Otherwise... Yeah, I mean, maybe once they fix it, I'll buy it again. I got a Steam refund.
That's nice that they were able to, like, hey, I got sick from this game. And they're like, all right,
well, here's another one. I was 20 minutes under the cap. Of the two hours.
Right, you need two hours, and then you're past due.
Yeah.
Right?
So, but in the little thing, it was like, why do you want a refund? I was like, because I want to vomit. basically, like, well, and I wasn't the only one. I guess GameStop had written an article, not GameStop, sorry, GameSpot had an article on it that people were reporting the same issues and that they were going to work on a fix. So, if that happens, maybe.
Yeah, I saw Jonathan Blow say that he's trying to. Program something in to fix that. So,
thank.
Hopefully that works out for you. But Fozzie and Jeff have played it a bit more.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I saw Fozzie going back on his whole "it ain't worth $40" comment.
Easy.
Twitter.
Well, I decided things are changing. The game was changed. And I was like, oh, well, this could be fun. And it wasn't necessarily I guess that's what I said, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know, the hype was real. I wouldn't get in on it while I can. And, yeah, it took about, I don't know, 20 or so puzzles, but then I really got into it. Some puzzles really pissed me off. I don't know how much I want to go into this stuff. Because, like...
I'm going to go full-on kind of spoilers.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, I know you are. I've muted you on Twitter because I don't... And I'm going to mute right now for the next 5 minutes.
No, listen.
You're muted. You're muted on Twitter. You're done.
How are you supposed to talk about a puzzle game without being able to talk about the puzzles, dude?
Well, that's the thing. Is you don't... You
well, don't
have
talk to, about solutions.
And the thing is, like...
No, you kind of have to talk about like what makes the game different a little bit. Not solutions. All right.
Well,
for
example,
I could tell you. Go ahead.
Just calm down, Hefe, because you and your spoilers, you don't know when to stop. So I'm going. I guess this is like a little mini spoiler. This is like the first like 20 or 30 minutes in, and I was playing with my friends, and so there's this one puzzle where you have two colors, right? And it's a blue one and a yellow one. So we start it, and I cannot figure it out. We did the process of elimination. Like, we literally took every single color. Like, we looked, and we're like, you can't get to the finish. It's not there. But what I realized is that there's the two entries. Depending on what entry you go to, that's where the blue line is going to start. So I tried the left one. I was just, like, curious. I'm like, what the fuck? How dare you? Because the thing is that this game doesn't give you directions. Like, there's nothing to tell you as far as what's going on or, you know, how to solve any of these puzzles. There's no hints. There's not even, like, a hint button.
But if you – like, the one thing I didn't like about the game was that if you find the – and that one of my other problems was that it's impossible to find the beginning of an area.
Right.
More or less, but if you find that beginning area, those first couple of puzzles will teach you the mechanic.
It does, but I mean, again, like there's the one that's, and I don't want to figure out because I'm still stuck on it, so don't tell me. But it's one where it's like there's these like sideways Tetris pieces. They're not even sideways; they're kind of crooked.
Yeah.
I cannot for the life of me figure it out, and so that's one of the things I'm stuck on. Or
honestly, like, can I please just tell you what that means?
No. Don't tell me, because I don't want to know. Tell me, because that takes away from the experience.
You kind of need to know.
Don't tell me.
All right.
Half the fun of that game is discovering the solution.
Exactly. Well,
that's... You ain't going to be able... There is no... It's not going to tell you, all right, you figured it out now. You could solve a puzzle and have no idea how you actually figured it out if you don't understand. I mean...
Right, I mean, at least once he figured it out, I come upon that and be like, okay.
But, Jeff, is there a way to come across that organically in the game? Like,
I think if he plays it enough, he's going to figure it out, but, like, okay. it would be a really good thing to know. Just put it that way.
Because
those Tetris puzzles are impossible. Like, I still don't entirely understand them, but I know what the slanted piece means.
It's really fucking cool, though. Like, I don't know. I guess my main, like, problem with the game right now is that there's no direction whatsoever. So, like, me, you know, we're just, like, going around. And then at this point, I'm just looking for puzzles. And I guess the neat thing about the game itself is that there's no, like, power-ups or anything that you need to get. It's literally, like, can you solve this puzzle or not? So, like, what happened is that there's a puzzle. It's the one against that white door or whatever, like, at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to solve that at first. But then I went and did some more advanced ones, and then we came back to that. I'm like, oh, yeah, this makes sense now. It's the one that had the black and white thoughts on that.
Well, you have to learn the logic evolution of, like, there's a language being taught to you.
Right.
Is that the one with a lot of white and black squares on it, and it's, like, up against, like, a stone door or whatever?
Yeah.
Dude, that is a fucking tough puzzle, but my girlfriend got it last night. I was, like, watching her, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it makes you feel, like, super smart when you come back to these, and you're like, I got this motherfucker. Like, and that's the thing is that what Peter's saying is that I kind of agree with is that I wish that there was kind of more direction as far as, okay, this is the beginning of that. Because I'll stumble upon a puzzle, and I don't know how far into the puzzle maze it's in. But
because the way the game is structured, right? It just like kind of dumps you into the world, right? Like you can go anywhere to start with.
Like I unlocked the puzzle, and now there's this beam of light that's hitting this other beam. So I went all the way up to that beam of light, but then I realized, okay, there's all these other puzzles I have to do and everything to like. So, I guess like half the fun is kind of exploring the island. And there's no music either. Like, even a subtle, like, a Zelda-esque, not even Zelda, like, I don't know. Like, just something like calming or relaxing while you're playing it would be nice, too. But,
why are you there? Like, why?
You don't ever find out.
And what's the, where's the end game? Like,
well, that's what I'm trying to, like, is there a purpose for this, or is it just, like...
you can only access after completing a number of areas.
Right, exactly.
I think, I never found it, but I just know that that's the point of the game, is...
Sure.
But you don't, but that's, like, 9 of, like, the 17 areas or something. So, like, you're just completing puzzles for the sake of feeling smart.
I feel like that beam of light might be, like, one of the end game things, because there's a lot of stuff that's happening up
there. Yeah, no, there are
it is.
Areas, and at the end of the area, you'll activate a laser.
Right.
I think activating 9 of those lasers...
And Jeff came across, like, some sort of audio-video log.
Yes.
Yeah, those are cool. I like those.
There's one... I've only found one of the video or audio logs.
I got two of them.
I only found one audio one, and it was in the desert by the Egyptians.
Oh, there's audio and video?
There's video.
I found one.
Okay. I've seen two of the video, not the audio yet.
The audio one I found was about like some guy talking about how scientists were technically the most religious people. And whatever.
The one I found was if you go on top of the mountain, like all the way to the top of the mountain, like where the beams of light go.
Yeah.
There, if you wander, like, just look around. It's somewhere on the ground. Looks like a little green thing. And you click on it, and like it was like a awesome like, I don't know, 5 to 10 minute thing where it was like there's some astronaut talking about like going into space for the first time and how like they could put their thumb over the entire planet and that's like everything that we knew and blah 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 blah. It was just like really interesting, and like these audio and video logs like kind of make you think about the world that you're in the game at the same time, like. I found this one video log inside of, like, this temple or whatever, and it's, like, this philosopher or something talking. She's like, just let go. Stop trying to plan where you're going. Just, like, be who you are, and then, like, you'll find what you're doing. And it's, like, it's some old clip, but it's kind of, like, referring to the game, the world itself. Like, stop trying to plan what you're going to do and just go explore this and see what happens, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I don't know. It's fucking weird, dude.
But
we
I don't know.
We don't know why, or there is no like.
No, there is no why, and I think that's
the point. I don't know that there is no why, or I don't know. Maybe it's never everything is not always explicitly stated, but something is going on this island. There's a reason. There's all this stuff there. Like something happened, dude. Like maybe the game never really tells you all the way, but. Something is up with this fucking island.
There's a lot. There's as much story in there as there is in a Dark Souls game, for example. But it's presented in an even more obscure and like obfuscated manner.
Yeah, I feel like even Dark Souls though has more freaking Dark Souls 2. Like I think that's one of the reasons why I stopped playing Dark Souls is that I didn't know where to go, and. I don't know. Like, the Witness is great because it totally hooked me.
Let me help you, Fozzy.
No. Don't.
Geez. It's not spoilery. Dude.
No.
Just let it go, Jeff.
Let it go. Just let it go. Don't do anything.
I'm not spoiling anything, dude.
Don't make me kill
Trust
you.
Me. Let me just say what
I
want to say.
I don't want to know. Whatever you're going to say, I don't want to know.
It's not spoilery, dude.
I'm being serious. Don't say anything, okay?
It's not going
to... I don't want to hear what you want to say. So.
Well, I'm going to say it.
No, don't do it. Don't you do it. But listen. The thing is that... once I get tired of it, then yes, you can spoil it. But right now, I'm still having fun. I'm having fun, like, walking around. Like, all of a sudden, I found, like, this greenhouse that looked like they're, like, putting up some, like, really, really sweet, sweet ganja in there. I'm like, oh, there's puzzles in here. Cool.
Those are the best puzzles. I love those ones.
Yeah. I love the color ones. The color ones are really fun.
Yeah. I call them the segregation puzzles.
Yeah.
You gotta separate the blacks.
Yeah. That's what my friends said too. They're like, these are literally all about, like, especially like the white and black ones. But anyways. It's a fun ass game. I've had a good time with it.
I'm hoping I'll get a chance to actually enjoy it later, and then maybe I can see what, like, everybody's talking about it being, like, the most revelatory experience. I mean, even in those, like, 50 puzzles, I was like, this is fun, but it's too aimless for my taste, I think.
Well, it's this, can I fucking please say what I want to say? It's not spoilery. It's, Peter already kind of said it already.
I don't
so it's
want
not, like,
it.
That it's,
you've already
it's aimless.
Said too much, so...
There are tutorial areas.
I don't know.
It's not spoilery.
Yeah, I know there are, but the point is that, like, they don't. It does. They're not as much of a tutorial if the game doesn't lead you to them in the first place.
I understand this. What I'm saying though is, if you come up to a puzzle that you don't know, like if it has a billion symbols on it, don't try to fuck with it. Don't try to fuck with it because you don't have the skill set to deal with it yet. You don't understand what it is yet.
Oh yeah, no, I totally agree with that. My
that's all I'm trying to say. It's not like I'm saying it's not spoilery. I'm telling you how to play the game. Is like you come up to something like that, avoid it, go away. Like, you could tell when a beginner puzzle is.
Is there a way to find the beginning of that area?
No, and that's the problem. Is that you just have to, like, now there's, I mean, you can, it depends on the area, because sometimes activating one puzzle will trigger the next one, which will trigger the next one. So you just got to go find the one that's active. But that's not true for all the areas. And so there are sometimes where you're just, like, fumbling around being like, maybe this is the first one? I have no fucking idea.
Well, the thing that is, like, fucked up is there's hundreds of puzzles in there that are not part of the areas. Because you're gonna stumble on, like, all sorts of crazy puzzles. And some of them are super hard, but you're not prepared for them yet. But you could tell when you're starting an area because it's a row of fucking puzzles. Like, it's a bunch of panels together, like, at the beginning of the game. And they start off super easy and ramp up. And so once you do that first row, it kind of guides you through the area. And that's, like, one of the main areas you got to do to beat the game. Now, that's not spoilery. I don't think it's just that's the game never explains that to you, but you would figure that out. But I'm just saying, like, don't waste your time on shit that you don't understand yet at all. Like,
right, Jeff, what I'm wondering is, so, like, you start off and Pete said he went to the desert. Like,
yes,
where is, like, how do you know where the first puzzle in the desert is?
It's lit. It's the one that's lit up. Like, and so, like, once you finish,
yeah, but
one
I found
puzzle,
like
it'll
two that
light up the next one.
And what? And the funny thing is that I like. Went around to the beach because I could. Also, one thing I fucking hate about this game is that I can't fall off of anything.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
So I have to find, like, in his
the
goddamn
path.
Maze, the path that leads down.
Yeah, like, you're on the mountain, you can't just walk off it, which you
yeah,
should be
but
able
anyways,
to.
Yeah, but anyways, I walked down to the beach, and I just completed a puzzle that was sitting in the beach that I don't, that was, like, I thought a one-off, and then I walk back up to the desert. There's something fucking up there that's lit up. I did it, and then it turned off because I failed, and I was like,
oh, okay. Yeah, I did hear about, like, ones where you'd have to, you do one puzzle, it then activates another puzzle, and, like, if you fail that, the other puzzle, you have to go back and do the first puzzle again.
Well, yeah, but, like, the puzzle that you already beat is already still lit up, so you just have to draw over the line again.
Yeah.
It's annoying, but it's not like you have to remember the previous puzzle.
Thank God. Because in the trees, which, by the way, okay, and this leads me to my other issue, which is, like, the presentation of some of his puzzles. So let's take, have we all completed the cherry blossom area? Pink
I
trees?
I have. Yeah, I have.
Fozzie?
Fozzie. He fucking muted us or something. Fozzie?
All right, well, go ahead. So cherry blossom.
Well, no, I don't want to, I'm asking for a reason.
Well, I don't know where Fozzie is, so.
I think
but,
I know what you're
okay,
talking
so
about.
Anyways,
it's a tricky puzzle.
I'll dance around the answer for anybody who hasn't played it. But so there's a very specific way the answer is presented in, like, the first seven or eight puzzles, right? Where, like, okay, the solution is very clearly marked by this thing. And then the last two puzzles don't have that thing, and you're just sort of left to fumble around and brute. And I just brute forced the puzzle because it was lacking the identifier that I had learned to look for in every other puzzle.
I'm not sure. I need to. We need to talk a little bit more about the puzzles, though, and like how it interacts with the world. Because like, it's not. They're not all just puzzles on panels. Like the world plays into it big
time.
And
I agree. So like in the quarry, or right outside the quarry, there's puzzles that have to do with light and trees and this and that. Right. I don't know if you're up there yet, Jeff. That's the problem with the
story. Yeah, I've been to like a lot of these.
Right. Because like that would be the problem, though, right? It's like talking about like where you are in the game, like. Jeff could go right, you could go left, and Fozzie could go straight, and you end up with different experiences.
It's you could do the areas in any order you want, like kind of like how like the last Zelda was on 3DS. Like the map is open, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just there's a way to get to each area and do that area like in whatever order you kind of stumble upon it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so like I was like, oh man, I'm really smart, blah blah blah, and then like I understood. I guess it's the obtuseness of some of the answers that bothers me because, like, I know it's supposed to ramp up in difficulty, but then it's like, hey, I taught you to look for this very specific thing, and then I'm just going to take this very specific thing away from you.
I'm going to tell you a puzzle type, guys. Like, just to get... I want to tell you about two different puzzle types. One is, like, one where I never would have got it without cheating. And it's an area that gets you a laser, too, so it's kind of a big thing. But me telling you it is going to help you solve it because it's still super hard. You go up to the puzzle panel. I'm looking at it. I'm like, this makes no sense. It's just like an open kind of grid type thing that I could draw in any direction, and there's nothing there. You're supposed to be listening to the birds chirping while you're doing the puzzle, and it's telling you high and low notes. Like, I don't know how on earth I would have, like...
Fuck that.
And it's a whole series of puzzles, so once I knew that, I was able to do the first three on my own, going, all right, the bird chirps high twice, and he chirps low once, so I go up, up, down, right? But then after that, like, they start mixing in other sounds, like dishes fucking hitting each other and wolves fucking howling, and you're still trying to listen to the bird in the background.
At some point, the difficulty just feels like, I wanted to make it hard, so I just made it hard. Not like a game like Portal or something, or even Braid, where it like it layers its mechanics in an interesting way. In the puzzles that I saw so far, it was just like, I want you to not get this immediately, so I'm just going to make it hard.
It really, I don't know if that's 100% a knock against it. It really makes you look at everything and from every angle. Like, hey, maybe it's just not the panel you're looking at. Maybe there's something bigger to this. Like, and another example is like environmental ones where you have to step away from the puzzle and look at it from a certain angle.
And those are some of the light and tree ones I was talking
about.
They're
cool, though. Like, yeah, the one area I think that Fozzie has done as well is like this, the desert ruins area where there is these like panels that you have to look at the sun reflecting off them. And if you stand in the right position looking at them, you can see what the symbol you're supposed to draw is. Is that, have you done that one, Peter, right?
I'm sorry, one more time?
The sun reflecting off the panels?
No. So,
I
was in that area, but I didn't know that was the key to...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that you said that you did that part.
No. I went down to the beach, and on the beach, if you just, like, walk all the way around, there's just a puzzle sitting in the ground. And that puzzle, because I was able to just, like, okay, I kind of just get by looking at it when I'm
supposed to.
I did that one, and it activated another one of those... I guess reflection puzzles up above, because when I failed that puzzle, it turned off. So I guess I would have had to have gone back to the beach.
Okay.
And turned it back on. I don't
know. Well, sorry, I kind of spoiled that, but whatever.
I'm going to forget by the time that.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even once you know that, the puzzles are still so fucking hard. Like, it's not just about making it, like, looking at it from the right angle. It's like getting the lighting on it right. Positioning, you could like move some of the panels. Like, it's fucking ridiculous how hard some of the shit is, but you feel super smart when you pass some of it on your own. But like, dude, I'll be honest, I'm fucking cheating here and there, because like the audio cue one, I could have sat and looked at that puzzle for days and never noticed that it was the bird chirping.
So that's like, that's a question I have here. How long did it take for puzzle solutions to end up online?
Oh, immediately.
It took about a day for me.
VentureBeat has almost all of them.
Yeah, Venture P had all the puzzle types, at least.
No, well, yeah, but now they have, like, videos for 9 of the areas, and I think it's the 9 main ones.
Well, yeah, like, now on YouTube you get them, but, like, for me, it was the first day, like...
Yeah, no, I'm talking about yesterday. Or not yesterday, Tuesday.
I'm talking about Tuesday, like, all I could find was there was a guide of different puzzle types, and, like, a bunch of people, like... frantically talking about, like, what does this now, mean? What does this mean?
VentureBeat had at least 9 of the areas then, because I was playing it around 4:30-ish, and around those light puzzles, I was like, I suddenly don't know what I'm supposed to do anymore, so I went and looked it up, and they had the solutions, so.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
I mean, if they had press copies, then they probably had ample time to explore that sort of thing.
I don't know what to say to people. Like, I can't sit here and be like, this is a game everyone must play, because some people are not gonna like it, you know. It's not gonna be their thing, but it is a really great puzzle game. Like, it's fucking crazy. Like, and granted, like, I think some things are almost too obtuse, like where, like, I had to use the guide and I don't think I would have ever figured it out without it. But even, like, okay, so that helps me get past, like, one or two big hurdles, and I still get to enjoy so many more, like, awesome puzzles. I don't know. And then the other thing, going way back to the price point now, it's like, I think we've kind of devalued games a little bit, because, like, even, like, one or two generations ago, a $40 game was looked at as, like, a budget title game, and now it's like we're so spoiled with these $10, $20, $15 games. That, like, some game coming out at $40, we're like, it's too much. Like, I don't know, for what's in this game, I think it's probably worth it, you know?
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, $40, that arguably is dumb. Like,
that used to be a budget title game, as $40. Like, if a game came out at $40, you'd be like, I mean,
yeah,
I can't.
Now
it's digital,
people look
it's
at
different.
It and go, oh, it doesn't have any story, it's just puzzles. Like, this should just be an app or, like, $15 or something.
I mean, I can see that argument, though. I mean, there are plenty of puzzle games that you can get for $4, and they're not sure. To the same level of...
And the funny thing is that the puzzles are done are very reminiscent of, like, Flow and, like, stuff like little app games like that that are just, like, maneuver, you know, the circle through the tube to the end properly, you know? But because of, like, how the environment plays into those puzzles, like, that's not something you could accomplish.
Yeah, like...
Like, without it being a 3D game.
Yeah, the environment's a huge part of the puzzles the later you get in the game. Like, you're almost always, like, somehow interacting with the environment. Like, yeah, the core of it is you're always doing, like, these little panel things, but you have to incorporate the environment into that as it goes on. And, yeah, it's pretty fucking brilliant, dude. Like, that motherfucker is a genius, I gotta admit. Like, I even went back and replayed a little bit of Braid, like, last week, and I was just blown away by the stuff that he had done by himself, I think, in Braid.
I love the thing about, like, in order to collect the star, you have to sit on that cloud for, like, 2 fucking hours. Like, crawls at a snail's pace over to it.
I don't know. I may play this at some point, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would probably give it 6 months, wait until it drops to, like, $30 or something.
I would say you have to play it this year, Chris, at some point.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. It'll definitely...
Not saying this... You know, not saying it's going to win Game of the Year, but it's like...
It'll be in the discussion.
It's a notable game, for real.
I mean, we're also in January, so...
Yes. Yeah.
It's hard to go, like... I mean, I don't know if there's, you know, another 10 games that are going to come out that are going to, you know, be on the same level as this, but... I mean, we could end up with a really good year of games, too, so...
Uncharted...
Yeah, I think there's games I'm going to enjoy more, or whatever, but I would not be surprised to see The Witness win some Game of the Year awards. Like, I know, like I said, like we all said, it's January, but, like, I don't know. There's something about this game that is pretty special, I think.
I don't know, you had texted me on Tuesday, and were like, did the reviews sway you? And I was like, actually, the reviews that I did read, like, kind of held me back, like, going, you know... Yeah, it sounds like it's really good for what it is, but it also, like, I don't know if I have time in my life for a game that where I'm going to get stuck on a puzzle for 5 days. Like,
yeah.
And I think
that's a
think
number
a
I've heard
you
multiple
should not
times.
Be afraid of cheating if you need to. Like, don't let it dictate the entire game, but, like, if you get stuck, like, spend a couple hours, and then it's like, okay, well, I either choose to no longer play because I can't continue, or I can, like, look up the answer to the one.
Yeah, I do want to, like, I don't know if you guys listened to the Giant Bombcast this week.
I did, which is what actually sold me on buying the game originally.
Yeah, so, like, but Brad and Jeff were both talking, and they were talking about how, like, cheating would actually basically destroy the game for you because you wouldn't know going forward. Like, you wouldn't learn the language. You wouldn't be learning anything if you're cheating going. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I have time to sit down and play for, you know, 50 hours.
Well, here's the thing. When I cheat, when I look up, like, a video on YouTube or, like, whatever, like, of how to solve a puzzle, I'll, like, pause it at that. I'll draw a puzzle, and then I'll look at the puzzle for a while going, okay, why is that the solution? So, like, you can still learn by going through it that way. It's just you're less skilled at it because you haven't had to, like, use your own
cheater
in the first
place.
All
you need to know. It's like that Silent Hill situation all over again.
What time? What?
Yeah. We played Silent Hill one time. I was playing with Javi. It took like 2 hours to beat this puzzle. It was awesome. We had the best time. Then I asked Hefe, I'm like, Hefe, how'd you beat that? Oh, I just went online.
Which Silent Hill is it? I'm curious.
5-2.
What'd you say?
Yeah.
It was 2. It was the one with the coins. Like, we couldn't figure it out. We couldn't figure out the poem or whatever.
No, fucking coin puzzle.
I don't know. Like, that's something, though. Yeah, I get what you're saying, Fozzie. Like, there is this great feeling of when you finally get it. But I also don't know if, like, I have
that. Yeah, I know you have kids and everything. But at the same time, it's like,
I also have, like, you know, so many other games that I want to get to.
Right.
Like, that's something I'm wondering.
Like, I don't know. For me, it's all about the experience. And
no, I totally
something
understand.
Satisfying, like again, I could have, like, that one situation, like, we were literally on this puzzle for, like, a good 45 minutes, coming up with all these, like, crazy-ass ideas, like, maybe there's something hidden, or maybe there's an invisible part, like, to this puzzle we're not seeing. And it was literally just me moving from that blue line from one side to the other. It took all but 5 seconds to figure out. But when we did, it was like, holy shit, like, this is awesome. This, like, fully changes everything, and we were just so happy, and we literally figured out, like, 2 minutes after that, but, like, just getting to there, I could have went on YouTube, and we could have been like, oh, wow, we're really stupid, but I feel that those are memories that I will remember personally.
Sure.
And that's the satisfaction I'll get out of it, is that, like, and that's kind of, you know, the thing about the game is that sometimes these puzzles, like I think Jeff Gerstmann actually tweeted about it, where it's like, he spent an hour on one puzzle, he couldn't get it. The next day, he just slept on it, and he, like, figured it out, like, you know, instantly. And that's the thing about this game, is that, you know, it really fucks with your head. It does. And the thing is that what you think one day, you might just literally be mentally exhausted, and it's so obvious the next day, and it's just, but there's a certain, like, especially with puzzle games, you know, there are games where, like, you could cheat, like, if there's, like, a boss that's giving you a hard time, like, that's one thing, but, like, puzzle games, there's no replayability. Like, once you've done it, you've done it. You put that aside. So, I mean, for me, it's, unless it's to a point where, like, I haven't played it in a couple weeks just because I cannot beat this one part, like, then it's like, okay, yeah, let me get through this one part and get on with it. Because, you know, essentially, this has nothing to do with, you know, your skills as a gamer. This really is more like just being able, like, problem solving. Like, if I was conducting job interviews, I might give this to someone and be like, okay, how many puzzles can you figure out in 30 minutes?
Get back to me when you platinum this shit, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have a day to platinum it, or, like, yeah, like, because for real, like,
I don't know if that's possible.
But that's the thing, is that, like, you could be the worst gamer in the world, but this game could still appeal to you because it is just problem solving.
Well, while you were gone, Fozzie, I was gone for a minute. My girlfriend has been playing it. Like, she doesn't really play games, and she's been solving puzzles I couldn't solve. So it's weird. Right. Cause, like, you don't need any sort of gaming skills to play it at all.
Right. Like the person I was playing with, she doesn't play games. Like, that's not her thing. So I'm controlling it, but, you know, when we get to a puzzle, we sit down, we think, we're like, okay, that goes here, that goes there, and, you know, I'll solve a couple puzzles by myself, she'll solve a couple puzzles by herself, yeah. But, like, that's the fun of it, especially when you have someone else there.
It's fun to play with someone else, for sure.
It is, like, honestly, I haven't played it without her, because, like, well, I mean, you know, first off, I told her I wouldn't play without her, but, again, it's, like,
It's
having a bit
that
more
fresh
fun
set of eyes
yeah.
next to you too. Like,
yeah,
it's like
yeah, it's
they can look at a puzzle the way you would not look at it. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
It's fucking awesome. All right. Well,
and there's no like frustration. It's pure fun because you're both. It's not like keep talking, no one explodes. Where there's definitely like that like tense tension to it. This is just like okay, let's solve this together. Like let's do this shit.
Going back to the time consumption thing though, Chris. Like, yeah, I remember there's people that like. They have no problem letting a game breathe. Like, this might be the only game they buy for, like, 4 months, you know? So there's that as well.
But, right. Like, I mean, with this, like, if I bought this week and then, like, XCOM's next week, like, do I get...
Do are you going to finish
my time out of it? Yeah,
why
like,
not?
Like, that's where it's, like, I don't know. Like, I might leave this for a little bit, come back to it in,
buy
you
it.
Know, in June or July.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say, buy it in the
Steam...
right time frame.
Right, like maybe like Steam Summer Sale when nothing else is going on, get it for, you know, 25-50% off and sink some time into it over the summer. So, we'll see. I want to play it. Like, there definitely seems like there's something there, at least from the puzzle side. Like, I don't know if there's anything else there, but...
No, I
just want to know what the challenge trophy is, motherfuckers. Give it to me.
Was that the one that, like, nobody can get or whatever? Like,
yeah.
I think like, somebody platinumed it, didn't they?
Yeah, there's a couple people who have done it. But I just want to know what it is because it just says complete a certain challenge. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Because, like, in Steam, there's only two achievements. Finish the game and complete that challenge.
That's it?
Yeah.
There's more in PS4.
Yes, because I think by Sony law...
They have to have X amount of trophies.
Yeah. Each time you beat an area, you get a trophy. Like, each time you, like, it'll be like, you completed Desert Ruins, or whatever, like, set of area, you know?
I don't know if I've gotten any. Have I? No, maybe not. I don't know.
Anyway.
If you completed the first area, like, the opening area as you're walking out, I think that counts.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I think you get a trophy.
Anybody else do anything gaming-wise this week?
Oh, man. Gaming-wise, nope.
Nope.
Oh, can I say one more thing about, real quick, about
how fast... Turn it off.
No,
go ahead.
No. I was saying how, you know, some people have, like, a ton of time to play it. And then there's Matt, Mr. Too Fresh, who started it last night and has solved more puzzles than me already. Like, he's, like, somehow outpacing me by, like, miles. I'll probably be done with it in a day and have it, like, platinum and shit. And he's not cheating. So it's, like, there's some people that are just, like, really good at whatever.
Just, like, fucking savants about it.
Yeah.
They also might hit a spot in the game, though, and just be like, I don't know, and, like, be stuck there
yeah.
for a while, too, so.
No, but he's, like, dude, he does that, but he walks away. He does the smart thing. He walks away and he goes to something else. But, like, he showed me he's got, like, tons of fucking drawings on paper and shit, and I have a notebook myself going, but he's got, like, just reams of paper with shit drawn on it. I'm like, holy shit.
Well, since nobody else did anything game-wise this week, I read a book.
That's cool. What'd you read?
Felicia Day's You're Never Weird
on
the
Internet.
Oh, did
you finish that?
I did.
Okay, because I bought it when I was at BlizzCon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how far I am at it. Sorry, I don't mean to sideline. But yeah, I think I'm like 3/4 of the way through. They finished season one of The Guild.
Okay.
I think is where I'm at in that book, so maybe 2/3.
So, like, I don't really know a lot about Felicia Day outside of The Guild.
I think I know too much.
I mean, I like The Guild. I saw it, you know, I watched it when it came out a few years ago. So 6 years ago now?
Yeah, it's pretty old. I haven't finished the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think I did either, but I was looking for something to read. I heard this was interesting. It is actually pretty interesting, and it deals with a lot of, like, heavy stuff in kind of a funny way, I guess. But she had definitely had, like, dark gaming addiction. Yes. With World of Warcraft, like, basically made her, like, unfunctional for a good portion of a year or so with World of Warcraft. There's some uplifting stuff in how she, like, deals with her depression and her anxiety and how they got the guild off the ground, and that was all, like, really fascinating stuff. And then I believe it's chapter 11. There's a good 20, 25 pages on, like, Gamergate that goes in pretty well. It's pretty interesting to hear her kind of take on it, how she originally was trying to stay out of it and not get involved. And just because she had, you know, in the past, like, had said stuff and she'd, you know, been attacked and she didn't want to get involved in that shit. And she kind of got to a point where it was actually just eating up her, like, where the gaming culture had been this, kind of become this disgusting thing, and so she had to actually step out. So it was a good read. Short. I think it's only like 250 pages or so.
Yeah,
so.
It's not very long. I just, there came a point for me at least where I was just like, her voice and the way she writes is exactly as she talks, and I was like, I can only handle so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, it's a little bit spastic. kind of. There is definitely that quirkiness to everything that she does. So.
Have we done spoiling?
Yeah, we're not. We're off to other things.
I have not spoiled shit, dude.
Yes, you did.
Go back and listen.
You told me how to solve desert puzzles.
That's the only thing. And which I think Fozzie has been to.
And you talked about birds.
Yeah, but you might think.
All right, we're done. Move on.
Anyway, that the Felicia Day's book was actually pretty. I found it pretty entertaining. So
I need to finish that.
As a, you know, as somebody who uses the internet a lot and plays games, and you know, I think there's stuff for everyone to relate to in that book. And she had a weird, fucked up upbringing.
Yes, she did.
It's interesting how she doesn't have a high school diploma, but she has two college degrees.
Yeah, right?
It's totally weird.
Well, that's what you get for being homeschooled, though.
Yeah.
As someone who was homeschooled, I totally understand that.
So that was pretty entertaining. And I also fell down this, like, deep, dark retro hole.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So Jeff, we're talking, he had bought The Witness. I told him that instead of buying The Witness, I bought Super Star Wars on the Super Nintendo. I then proceeded to buy a PlayStation 1 and a bunch of games for that, which are all arriving tomorrow.
Oh my god!
Why did you buy a PlayStation 1?
As I wanted one.
Do you not have a PS3?
I do, but I wanted, like, the memory card and.
Yeah, man, you gotta go all the way, man. I want a Dreamcast so bad.
Wait, you casual gamer?
I have a Dreamcast.
Hold on. What's the difference between playing a PS1 game on a PS3 versus a PS1?
Everything.
Everyone.
I mean, there's, like, the memory card management, there's. Like,
now, to be fair, if you were to say, why not just get a PS2, I might be with you there, because it's pretty much the exact same.
Or PS2, yeah.
Well, so I want to get a PS2 as well. I want the hardware.
I have one.
I had a PS2 years ago, but
yeah,
like with a lot of that stuff, like, you know, you upgrade, you trade away stuff, and so you can get new stuff. But now I actually, like, the reason I don't have that is, like, you know, I didn't have the room for it. I now have the room for it. I'm kind of creating, like, a retro type station.
Nice.
I'm so jealous. I've wanted to do that for so long.
Where, like,
you get a PS2 for cheap, bro. Like, 20 yes. bucks.
Really? Less, like, when I was at the game store that, there's, like, a independent game store here, they were selling it for 60, and then the other
a
game
PS2?
Store... Yeah, PS2s.
Like, new, or...?
No, used.
I got one for free, dude. I stole it off some kid. But anyways...
Well, so you stole it. Like...
That's something new.
Yes,
there's a comparable situation. There,
John.
No, I told him I couldn't buy it from him, and he just left it at the store. And I was like, "All right."
But I bought the PS1 off of GameStop. They're doing that retro thing now.
Oh right.
I was kind of expecting the prices to be high when I compared them to the two like retro game stores in the area. They're comparable.
No, I heard that from what I remember when they were starting like collecting and stuff that their prices were aiming to be comparable to like what like the other big collection sites or else nobody would ever buy from
them.
There's
like weird variations, but yeah, it's not like outrageously different.
Well, and I've been buying like a bunch of stuff on Amazon as well. It's like they have a great like.
Did you get any of the original Crash Bandicoot games?
No, they're really expensive. Like,
fuck. They are? They're really expensive?
Like, uh-huh. I mean, like, for what you would expect a PlayStation 1 game, like...
Interesting. I think with the exception of the first game, I have working copies of all four of them.
Like, for me to get Crash, the original Crash Bandicoot, shipped with via Prime, which is, like, what kind of, like... Because all the stuff by Prime is fulfilled by Amazon, so I can kind of trust the condition it comes in.
Mm.
$40 is the cheapest.
Wow. That's
not that bad, actually.
No, but I mean,
that's
like...
That's higher than I think for Crash 1.
For Crash Bandicoot, like...
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Well, sure, but I mean, it's also, like, I think considering the age and stuff and when, you know...
It's like dude, you can get Symphony of the Night for that, probably.
I don't know. Let's see. Symphony of the Night.
I saw it at a game store for like $40.
25 is the lowest they have.
Prime,
like that 25 was the lowest without Prime. $60 with Prime.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, that's what it's because it's fulfilled by Amazon. That's true.
Right. Like, but that's where like if I'm gonna get it, I know that it's like they're basically guaranteeing it. Any of the other stuff is like, I don't know. This could be okay. They are selling it on Amazon, so they want to keep their rating up, but also, like, let's see, if I ordered the $25 Symphony of the Night from Amazon, it would arrive anywhere between February 4th and the 22nd.
Got it.
Holy shit.
Like, so, it's like a month to get here.
Yeah.
I bought weirdly, one of the reasons I did this, though, is, like, so I bought a Retron 3 a couple weeks ago.
Did that work out for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Took a little while to get it to work. I thought the NES port, like the port, the cartridge slot there was broken.
Does it grip it really hard on yours?
It does. Like it's
only that port.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, it's really weird. Like, and I have to kind of angle it when I push it in. From the right, like kind of come in at a right angle and then plop it down. But even then, like the two games I had, you know, I already had two NES cartridges. I had Final Fantasy and Dragon Warrior. Neither of them worked. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it just gave me, like, a weird kind of gray, like, that weird screen, you know, the original Nintendo would give you when cartridges aren't working. And I was like, fuck, maybe this is broken. But then I bought another cartridge, and that works. So it's those cartridges are bad.
Yeah, the cartridges are hit and miss, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so it's like trying to get ones that work. And that's why I'm doing the Prime stuff, like where it's like I know that this is going to come in, it's going to work, because they're guaranteeing that. Buying them at the retro store, it's like they're going, yeah, it'll work. Okay. Take that chance, I guess.
Yeah.
But I have Aladdin coming for Genesis.
Nice.
That game. Well, I haven't played that one. I played the Super
Genesis Nintendo one's better.
The Genesis one is better.
They're different.
They're different games, but the Capcom Disney games were basically.
You're telling me the Virgin Interactive one is better than.
The ones on the Genesis are generally considered to be better than the Super Nintendo ones.
Like, I don't know. I liked the. The one on Super Nintendo is more like a Prince of Persia game, almost. Like, you have all these acrobatics and shit. Like, and the one on Genesis, I think you just, like, kind of, like...
You got apples.
With your sword.
But I have that one coming. I actually got that for under $10 on GameStop.
Nice.
There's, like, some really cool stuff coming.
How do you like that Super Star Wars there, buddy?
That game's tough, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's just really tough. And I wish there was a password system. Yeah. You know, like in Metroid, like where it's, oh, I died here, I can pick up now.
Can
like,
you save state on the Retron 3?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Which is fine. I may actually end up buying Super Star Wars on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And you can save in that one, but...
Isn't that game super hard or something?
It is really tough.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard as fuck. He told me he got it, and my like first text back to him was,
good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, I was like, I remember it being really hard. I remember playing it as a kid and having trouble like on the first level.
Is that the one with the jumps, too, like where you're like, you're in some vehicle?
No,
it's
like
boat 7 level? Like
the,
where
the second level is you're in the sand speed, you're in the speeder going after the... Jawa sandcrawler.
It's so easy, like kind of like the first F-Zero to just go flying off the fucking track.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Or like just miss the jump. Oh my god, I fucking hate that game.
But I got stuck on like the fourth level. I was having trouble getting through there, and I was like, I've played this for like an hour and a half now. I'm gonna shut it down. But yeah, I just totally got lost in that. But the real reason that I started doing this was I wanted to play NHL 94 again, so I've been playing a bunch of that, but now I've decided I want to buy all the NHL games.
Well, here's the great, like, news is, like, if you're a fan of old sports games, like,
they're
those
so
are
cheap.
The ones, like, those are, like, 99 cents
yeah.
for real. All
I'm, like, getting like, them all, I'm buying all the NHL games, and...
Like, if you go, like, there was a retro store here that closed down, but, like, I'd go in there, like, once a week to check their selection, and it was always... the same fucking shit, and it was all like old sports games and then a bunch of Caesar's Palace Casino games. Like for Super Nintendo, for Genesis, it was like Caesar's Palace Casino. Like there must have been 8 billion Caesar's Palace Casino fucking carts back in the day.
I'm buying some of that. I bought College Football USA 96, which is it's the first one with it has like 108 colleges in it. Like before that, it was only like 20 or 30 colleges, and I think it was Bill Walsh's College Football. Those old football games are tough to go back to, though.
Yeah.
NHL 96, yeah. Dallas Stars.
Oh my god, that's NHL! I have NHL 96 showing up tomorrow. yeah,
that
game's so good.
Hold up.
Oh my god,
it's so much fun. and now I'm like, look, I bought a Dreamcast last year.
Good man.
Off of Ryan Kenward, who used to run Vagary.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought his when he moved to Korea. He gave it to me really cheap too. But now I'm like looking at some Dreamcast games and stuff. And
Sonic Adventure, baby.
Sonic Adventure, okay.
Taxi Driver, baby. That's what I'll be
Star
about.
Star Wars Demolition, Star Wars Pod Racer.
Yeah, there's some.
Oh, Crazy Taxi. My bad.
Yeah, Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Code Veronica. I think that might.
Fuck
yeah!
Hell
yeah! Sega Bass Fishing.
Get
that fishing controller.
Oh, the fishing controller.
Game
yeah.
Game over.
Seaman.
Choo Choo Rocket's pretty good.
Dude, I want a Dreamcast now because I never
dude,
had one.
Some,
I never.
Like,
I never got
there's some underrated ass.
I fucking love the Dreamcast so much.
You cannot play anywhere else.
Like I've played like Sonic Adventure and like a couple things here and there that have been re-released, but I've never played a game on the Dreamcast.
I need to find Shenmue though, so I can and see if
that's my game.
So I remember playing it back when I originally had a Dreamcast years ago, and not liking it. So I think I gotta try it again. But yeah, I'm down this like retro hardware roll.
That happened to me, like, this time last year. Like, same thing. Like, I bought the Retron and fucking was just on the hunt for shit.
Yeah, it does kind of suck, like, if there's not, like, multiple stores, though. Like, there's only the one near me, and they don't get, like, new stuff in all that often. So it's like, you're digging through, like, Ned's Play Action Football and a bunch of other garbage. Oh, and here's a new one. I don't have this one yet. But yeah, the pricing, it's going up. I wish I had gotten into it a few years ago, because that older stuff is definitely starting to raise up. The PlayStation stuff, though, if you are looking for PlayStation games, now's probably a pretty good time, because they're not too high, except for like maybe Crash Bandicoot and some shit. But Like, a lot of the more popular stuff is readily available for cheap.
Well, I think it's going up over time. I think now is a great time for 360 games, dude. Go get those games for, $1, $2.
360 games are good. Wow, N64 games are fucking insanely expensive.
Yeah. Super Nintendo games, too.
Some of them, yeah.
In general, they're more than Genesis cards are go for cheaper.
It depends on which game it is. Like, I saw Phantasy Star 3 at the retro place I go to, and they were selling that for $60.
I'm saying, like, Super Nintendo's scarcer. If you go into any store, they have less Super Nintendo.
And well, they sold less than the Genesis, too. Like,
yeah.
I think the Genesis just sold more, and Sega pushed more of their carts out, too. I bought Pit Fighter.
Nice.
Kim's terrible.
You need to get Masters of Terracotta for your
PS1. Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of Star Wars games. I wrote down a whole bunch of them between, like, the Dreamcast, the PlayStation 2. Like, there's a ton of good Star Wars games out there. There's some that I didn't even know existed. So I'll probably be trying to get some of those. Masters of Terracotta is pretty terrible, though.
Oh, my God. It's an awful game. What?
Dude, get you some Shadow of the Empire for N64, baby.
If I could find it, I probably would buy that.
It's so bad, but it's so good.
It's like right now, I'm, like, kicking myself because, like, a lot of the games that I'm getting I already owned at one point in time. And, like, I'm, like, looking at the retro place just got in, like, Mario Kart 64. And I own that on, like, the Wii Virtual Console. But I owned, like, a cartridge when I had my N64, and they're selling it for $75. It's like,
oh, Jesus. Man. Wow.
Like, oh, this one's super rare. I'm like, really? Like, I would have thought that would have sold the most. Like,
I thought that would be, like, one of the cheaper cards, like, $10 or less. That's crazy.
Yeah, none of the N64 carts were under $10, so... But, yeah. Let's do some news real quick.
Real fast.
Yeah.
I want to recommend that everybody go to YouTube. I've been tweeting about this. And watch the 5.5 hour 100% run of Majora's Mask that was performed at AGDQ. It is done by four guys. And it is amazing.
Four guys, one console?
Yes. No, yeah. They each take turns.
Okay.
Like, they each have, like, basically... an hour and 10 minutes apiece. And then at the end, they blindfold themselves and use the single controller to defeat the final boss at the same time.
Do they have the Super Link or whatever his name is? Like,
No. They just were playing off the virtual console.
No, I was saying, like, there's, like, it's called Oni Link you could turn into, and you just could destroy the boss.
Oh, the Great Deity Mask? Yeah. Because 100%... You only get that by collecting all the other masks, and so 100% all the masks, all of the heart pieces, all of these certain
items. And they did that in how long?
5.5 hours.
Wow. That's crazy.
Jeff, you should watch that and report back.
It's amazing.
That sounds
cool. I watched it over the
course of 4 days. They should make it shorter.
Yeah, that's...
They're trying.
They should do it in an hour. I watch it
in an hour.
Any percent is it doesn't take very long, from what I've heard.
The lead writer for Dragon Age, he left BioWare after 17 years. David Gator, I guess he worked on Dragon Age Inquisition, Knights of the Old Republic, and probably a bunch of other games as well. But yeah, he's gone from BioWare. Another high-profile person.
Yeah, gone. I think that place has needed some new blood in it for a while.
Probably. But I do wonder about where their stuff is going, because the doctors are gone, and...
Fucking what's-his-name is gone, too. I know who you're talking about. The lead guy of Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, he left, too. He's been gone for a little bit now, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But BioWare's also not making any other games except for Andromeda right now that we know of.
Right.
So.
And continuing work on the Old Republic, so.
Yes.
They've been dumping content out pretty regularly for that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys remember that there was a Walking Dead shooter coming out?
No.
What?
Oh. So, I guess Starbreeze and Overkill were working on a Walking Dead shooter. They announced last E3.
What system was it supposed to be on? Because I don't fucking remember.
Xbox One, PS4, and PC. I don't think they showed anything. But they talked about how it was supposed to be coming. I guess it was supposed to be coming this year. It's been delayed till the end of next year, so...
That's cool. Nobody will care by then.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody will play it either.
And nor should they. Most Walking Dead games are terrible. So.
But I like Starbreeze. They're pretty good.
What did they make?
They did the Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, they're the Payday guys.
Yeah, Payday. They also did...
Brothers.
Yeah.
Syndicate.
They've worked on EA Syndicate, yes. I mean, they've made some good games and some good shooters, too, so. But yeah, I guess Payday is their most recent game. Well, this only... I'm the only one here actively playing Halo, but 343 released the first batch of community maps into matchmaking over the weekend. They're all breakout maps that they put in there. They're all really good, too.
Oh, that's good.
I think they're all better than the original breakout maps in a lot of ways, so... they did a good job choosing them. And I guess they're gonna choose which ones stick. Like, they're, that'll be out there for voting. But none of you guys are actively playing Halo, so...
I don't play Halo.
I'll play Halo if you play Splatoon.
I don't want to play Splatoon. Halo's better.
I'm not disagreeing there, but I'm just saying.
All right. Well, I'll think about it. Mighty No. 9 was delayed yet again.
Just because of network issues.
Yeah.
That's why Kickstarter.
Like, it just seems like they...
that was supposed to be out in, like, 10 days, like, right?
Like, yeah. What are they thinking doing this? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, like it's like the most news story.
This game's again, like, I don't know. Does anybody care about Mighty No. 9? Like,
no,
I don't. Well, I especially don't care about their network capabilities, like
for matchmaking. Yeah, like, were you gonna play it online if you did play it?
No, I mean maybe, but no, probably not. Yeah,
no. So nobody cares about Mighty No. 9, right? Like, does anybody care about Mega Man? Like,
nope.
I like Mega Man.
I do. That's,
he's in Smash. That's okay.
I kind of want to play Mighty No. 9 because it's like Mega Man, but
yeah, like I would play it.
I think at this point. I need to wait and see what everyone else is saying about it.
Yeah.
I don't think I backed this, so there's that, I guess.
I don't think I backed
it. I don't know. It's been so long. If they send me a code, I guess I'll know. I don't get updates from them, though, so I don't think I did. Although I stopped getting updates from that... The tactics game from the Final Fantasy Tactics guys. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I don't either. But I stopped getting updates on that too, and I did give to that. So, Sony, they are merging their PlayStation groups into one head unit, and it is going to be based out of the United States.
Yeah, they're in San Antonio now.
I believe so, yeah. San Mateo.
San Mateo.
Yeah. San Mateo, California. It's going to be, I guess, Sony Computer Entertainment and Sony Network Entertainment are merging, and they're moving from Tokyo to San Mateo, California.
Yep.
I
mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem like Japan cares about the PlayStation anymore.
Or gaming in general. Or game, like your like consoles.
If you're not mobile or the 3DS, like nobody really gives a shit over there. So,
yeah.
Makes sense to move it out of there. I don't think it'll mean much for us as fans, but
not for a long time.
Yeah.
If we ever wind up knowing about, if we ever know up, know wind up knowing more about it beyond like just following the industry, yeah. Like.
It may end up with eventually Sony having, you know, understanding the internet a little bit better.
No.
Hallelujah.
Kanye.
better than Nintendo, so.
But it's hard not to be.
Yeah. So, Three Fields Entertainment, you guys know who they are?
Not a clue.
I know who they are.
Yeah, they are Three Fields. Fiona Sperry and Alex Ward. The founders of Criterion, they left Criterion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And formed this Three Fields Entertainment. They have a game coming out shortly that was announced this week, actually, called Dangerous Golf.
Yep.
basically looks like Crash Mode, but golf. Like you're playing golf in like a china shop or a abandoned.
So you're just trying to destroy things?
It looks that way. Like, maybe destroy things and get it into the hole.
Cool.
It looks fun.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I'm down for it.
Yeah, I'm so down for that.
You guys played Outlaw Golf, right?
I did not play Outlaw Golf. That's good.
What?
Outlaw Golf's good. I haven't played it. Fozzie. Play Outlaw Golf? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do it.
Who's it have? I think it has Jimmy Kimmel, maybe. There's like the announcer or someone that's like partially famous. I forgot who it was.
Insomniac. I'm big fans of Insomniac.
I am too, man. I'm really excited for that Ratchet and Clank.
The
remake,
kind of reboot
thing. The reimagining of the first game
with the movie. They announced their next project.
Yeah, I actually didn't pay any attention to the game, but that's fine. But I don't like everything else surrounding it. It makes me uncomfortable.
So yeah, we'll get into that in a second. So they announced Song of the Deep, which is their next game. It is a side-scrolling kind of undersea adventure. Metroid-ish.
Today, right?
What was that, Father?
That came out today, like the news.
Yeah, they announced that it was coming. I guess it's coming out in a couple months, probably after Ratchet. I guess. I guess the big piece here, though, is that GameStop is publishing it.
Yeah, they're desperate.
Like they are.
any brick and mortar store should be desperate.
And
I think if I was Insomniac, dude.
Yeah.
If I was Insomniac, I'd feel a little dirty about the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like I compared it to when movie theaters distributors used to have their own theaters, and they would only really you could only go see a Fox movie at a Fox theater. Like this is kind of this thing where it's like you can only buy a GameStop game like physically at GameStop.
Yeah, like, but I feel like you're going to be losing.
What'd you say? You're dropping out, Fozzie.
Oh, I was saying that I feel like you would lose some serious cash if you did something like that.
So. Oh, sure. Wait. No, I mean, it's online, obviously, because they have no choice but to make money. But, like, retail-wise, they are purposely restricting it to their store. Like, it's not like when Xenoblade came out and they didn't really want to release it in America, so they just stuck it in the GameStop so people would shut the fuck up. This is them, like, being like, we're funding this because we want to make a product that people will come to us for specifically, instead of just being the cipher with which everybody else sells things.
It's weird because I don't see a reason for me to go there and get a physical copy of a game that's probably going to be like 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah, I mean, downloading wise, I could probably literally download it quicker than it would take to like get to the store even.
Like, yeah, and I mean, like, looking at the aesthetic of it, it's not something I would, like, I mean, it looks pretty, like, the artwork, very nice. But it definitely doesn't strike me as a game that I would be like, I need to go get the physical copy of this.
Right. What's that like?
But it is weird. It's really weird. GameStop's getting into game publishing.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
So we'll see where that heads. Star Wars Battlefront, they nerfed some shit. Nobody cares about that, I'm assuming, since nobody's playing Battlefront.
See ya.
Sony announced their PlayStation Plus free games for February. Let's see, Helldivers.
Okay.
Part of PlayStation Plus lineup.
You know what? I want to get into that real bad again now.
Helldivers Democracy Strikes Back. It's the, I guess it's the original Helldivers plus the expansion that released back in October. It's cross-buy PlayStation 4, Vita, and PlayStation 3. The other PS4 February title is Nom Nom Galaxy. Know what that is.
Nope.
PS3 players get Grid Autosport and Persona 4 Arena Ultimax.
Okay.
It's a Persona 4 fighting game. And Vita owners get Lemmings Touch and Nova 111. Helldiver sounds cool, though. I heard good things about it.
Oh, yeah.
That.
You haven't played it?
No.
Ooh, yeah, we'll play that. Sure. That's a great game. That's a phenomenal game, actually.
It's co-op, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very much co-op. It completely depends on co-op, especially when you get later on level. It gets a little repetitive, but I love how when you... So, have you ever played Magicka? The one that's co-op-ish, and then what you would do is, like, you would input buttons onto your controller or whatever.
Right,
and
for that would, spells, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you do for your drops. So when you want to, like, revive someone, you have to use a spell to do it.
Okay. That does sound cool.
Yeah.
Microsoft also announced their free games for February. Let's see, Xbox... One gold members on Xbox One will get Styx Master of Shadows.
What?
Yeah, right.
I've been waiting for that.
Were you?
No.
And a game called Hand of Fate. I don't know what either one of those are, so.
I think Giant Bomb did a thing on this.
I haven't heard of any of them.
The 360 games are Sacred Citadel, which is kind of like a side-scrolling action game, a melee action game. It's okay. And Gears of War 2 are they're the 360 games. So there you go, if you're looking for that. Big news out of EA... They have dropped out of E3 2016. They are moving their conference to the day before press conference day. So when Bethesda did theirs last year on Sunday, EA is looks like they're going to do theirs on that Sunday as well. And they're running their own event outside of E3. It's kind of sounds a little like Nintendo.
Yeah, like why not? They're a big-ass company.
Yeah, like, you know, we don't need E3 to promote our shit. We'll just do it on our own. And
sure, and their past conferences have been nothing really to speak of. Everybody's kind of shit on them, so I'm not surprised that they're just like, we don't, like, what they're doing doesn't necessarily fit the style of E3 anymore. So
right, and like, do they really need to pay like $20,000-$30,000 for a booth when they could spend that money on their own event to focus on their stuff? So I do wonder though, if like a big company like Electronic Arts is dropping out, is that kind of a sign that maybe, I mean, that's kind of been the conversation over the last few years, right? That like, is E3 dying? Like, has it run its course? Do we need
it? Sad when you think about it.
Never.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the giant bomb guys were talking about, is there a world without E3? And I think as, like, time goes on, I think the question is there a place in the world for an E3 without press conferences? Like, I still think there's going to be, like, a press-only show, whether it's called E3 or something else. Like, there'll be something in that style that exists where it's not, like, a PAX or a GDC or a Gamescom that has both press and public days. Something strictly for just press people to go to.
Right.
And whether that has big out-there press conferences or not in 5 years from now, who knows? Because, I mean, what is it? Sony has PSX. EA is now doing this thing. Nintendo, they do their directs. Like, I mean, how long before Microsoft just doesn't...
Microsoft should make something called the X Games.
I think they are. I think I saw Halo on there.
Perfect. I don't know. Like, I've never been a huge fan of, like, live demos. I think, yeah, like, I understand what you're trying to do, but at the same time, like, especially... those look really bad. You know, like, it's embarrassing, kind of. Like, I remember when I went to that one E3 that I've been to, Miyamoto was trying to play Zelda on the Wii remote. It was not responsive, and there's all the cell phone. Like, they don't take into account a lot of these things that are happening. And
well, that's because Nintendo's, like, 5 years in the past, and they don't
think
people have cell
phones.
Yeah,
but it's still, like, cringeworthy. It's like, okay, well, that's dumb. Doesn't show off your product. Like, why don't you show off your product in the best fashion? Yeah.
Anyway, one last piece of news here. Bungie's president, Harold Ryan, he stepped down this week, and Pete Parsons took over. I guess he was appointed CEO. And he's been the COO since 2002, so...
Yeah, and this is kind of in light of them saying that 2016 is not going to have any major Destiny release, so...
Yeah.
I think Activision was like, all right, dude, whatever you're doing is not working because the schedule, the contract has changed so much.
Right, because they were already a year behind when they launched Destiny. And now they are going to be even further behind because it doesn't sound like Destiny 2 is coming this year. They're not doing another big release like they did last year with The Taken King. They've stopped all their big DLC plans. That game's a mess right now.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing anymore.
Which is a shame because, I mean, Fozzie was playing it recently and... I thought they cleaned up a lot. They fixed a lot of the problems with that game with The Taken King. So it's a big mess.
Yeah, you know, I think they kind of fucked up by not making it an MMO and charging a monthly subscription. Like now, like with these emotes and like dances and then these like little like level up tokens, it's slowly turning into a free to play MMO. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if in 3 years, maybe that's too long, maybe 2.5 years, the game just goes free to play. And they find it, this year slowly sees that transformation to adding more and more things that people can buy.
Yeah, I just wish there was more content. Like, I wouldn't mind there being more stuff to buy if there was more stuff to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I mean, I think the core mechanics we talked about before, the core mechanics really good in that game. It's just the wrapper that it is in, it's very sparse. They fixed some of that, added some personality with The Taken King, but now it's kind of been dead, and there's very little reason to go back into that world right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of... unfortunate that it went that way, but like considering where they started and stuff, it's not surprising. Like they're limping right now, and I think what they might do is instead like Destiny 2 might be the free to play launching thing. Now that I think about it, like instead
Could
of
be, right?
You know, it just being like, hey, guess what? You don't even have to pay for Destiny 2. Instead, it comes with, you know, so you just buy all this godforsaken nonsense. But the main game is totally fine. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. We'll definitely see. I do wonder if they're kicking themselves right now about having, you know, left Microsoft.
Well, it's not just that, but, like, remember that article that had come out a while ago that had shown, like, how their engine works and how hard it is for them to make content? Like,
yeah.
What, like, they kind of shot themselves in the foot from day one.
Yeah. Yeah, they... And I'm pretty sure, like, Activision bought onto it going, yeah, these are the fucking Halo guys. Like, they're going to knock it out of the park. And
yeah.
I do remember that contract leaking
back when... It was because of the lawsuit with them and Infinity Ward.
Right. But I also, like, remembered that when Bungie left, like, their contract leaked with Microsoft. And Microsoft had right of first refusal on whatever they did next, which would have been Destiny.
Yep.
And they turned it down.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to sneeze, man. Please excuse that. Mm. But... Okay, I passed. Oof. Like, I think Bungie's sort of atrophied in their ability to create good games. Like, I think, you know, people were getting a little bit Halo fatigued because they were just kind of doing the same thing in a different setting. And now there's this Destiny stuff, like, something's wrong. Something's rotting in the core there of that company, and...
Yeah.
They don't know what it is, and it might be this president guy. I really don't think that's going to fix it. I think they need, like, an actual, like, fixer-type guy to go in there and reshuffle the whole thing, and, like, they need to dump all their tools into a fire and get everything. And that's why I think Destiny 2 may be, like, their better thing. Like, don't be surprised if Destiny 2 is on a new engine. You can't carry over any of your progress, but you can cash it in for something in the new game because... It's built on a different infrastructure and this and that. Like,
yeah, I think that's a very likely thing to happen.
Because they, whatever they did just isn't doing it for them or their players or Activision, obviously. Because I wouldn't be surprised if it was Activision who went to that president and was like, you're out.
Or they went to the Bungie board and was like, hey, you're fucking up.
Yeah, like, and I don't know if you've noticed or not, but you guys are not making any money anymore.
And we're gonna pull that contract and sue you guys for breach of it. Like, I do wonder if that's... And they were like, all right, you know what? We're gonna fix this. We're gonna sacrifice Harold here. Like, sadly, he has to go. So we're gonna make a token gesture to you, and we're gonna get this shit back on track. Or at least try. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting year for them. It does not sound like Destiny 2, though, is happening this year or anything Destiny really related. So.
No.
The game has such great potential, and they're squandering it. Yeah,
and the funny thing is that, like, they're... I think they just... They started out making a game that the environment that the industry is in is not. For, like, this weird hybrid...
Right.
Thing. You know, but, it, like, that's the style of game, but also the core of the game was just not there. With, like, all the story shit that they had cut out, and then, like, this mix and mashing of missions and, like, stringing things together. Like at some point, I think they just released the game because they had to, but, like, they didn't want to, and now they're paying for that.
Yeah, it does very much sound like they were kind of, like, contractually obligated to get something out the door, and they've been handcuffed by it because they really don't know what the hell they're doing. It's going to be really fascinating to see. It'll be really cool to see in like 25 years when the book on Bungie and Destiny finally gets put together.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a hell of a read. But I believe that's it for news.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
I don't think there's anything else big out there. Jeff, you still with us?
Did
Fozzie leave?
Fozzie did leave.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, shit, I didn't even notice. I've minimized Skype, so I didn't even, when did he bow out?
About 10 minutes ago.
Oh. God damn it.
But, yeah, we'll be back next week. XCOM will be after we record, so I don't know what there is next week. Probably a little bit more of The Witness. We'll try and have Jeff not spoil anything.
Again.
Yeah. maybe we'll just get Jeff to spoil shit. Everything.
Good luck. If you go based on what I told you...
You're probably not going to figure it out. Yeah, so probably more Witness. And Don said who will be on. So Final Fantasy Explorers.
Division Beta.
At least for new stuff.
And I imagine most of you guys will be playing that, right?
The Division?
Yeah.
If I get into the beta.
I might try and... I might get, like, buy Oxenfree and play that. I don't think we're going to get a code for that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a... I think he did contact them.
He did, and they probably just ignored it, so it's fine.
Every once in a while, you never know with the indie stuff. Like, sometimes they're like, yeah, we'll give a code to anybody, and then other times they're like, yeah, we can't give a code to anybody.
Well, I think they're released through Microsoft, so...
Okay.
I think maybe since they're like, maybe they're handling that. It's just like...
Microsoft sometimes does that. I mean, they've been pretty good, but that game is out now, though, right?
Yeah, no, it's been out for at least a week and a half, I think.
So, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, so maybe Oxenfree.
Street Fighter's the week after, I think.
Yeah, so the week after, we're going to have a lot of stuff. XCOM, Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia.
Oh, yeah, we never talked about our interviews that we put up, but I guess go read those, because
there's the reviews
Darkest
are up.
Dungeon and one for India.
Yeah,
Assassin's Creed Chronicles India,
Darkest Dungeon's up there. Pete's article on Prince of Persia's up there.
Yeah, buddy.
I think that's it.
Might there's stuff.
Version. Oh, and there's an, whatever that strategy game that Tony plays, that... There's a review of that.
Oh, yeah, the Europa.
79th expansion. Yeah, Europa Universalis 4.
Yes. And I might write something on the games I've been playing. Blade and Soul, Duelist, and stuff like that. Maybe a first hour kind of thing.
Alright.
I don't know.
I'd like to hear about your anime MMO.
God damn it, man.
Alright, Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.